T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have been excited to talk to this guy since Saturday. The first guy I thought of, because we've had him on the show a number of times, he's one of the best personalities.
Oh, for sure.
Boxing is filled with personalities. Al Bernstein is one of them. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Al Bernstein, Hall of Fame boxing analyst for Showtime. He's an author, a stage performer. Remember, he invited us to his show in Vegas last time we were out there. We went to the Golden Knights game instead. He is a great public speaker and a great radio guest, and Al Bernstein is there. Hello, Al.
Good to be with you guys again.
We love talking with you. And then so Saturday night, and then it was funny because I had texted you yesterday. Hey, Crowder and I were both off yesterday, but I was thinking, you know, hey, can you come on the show? And then I saw you tweet later on, getting a lot of requests from radio stations. That's probably good for the sport of boxing. So let's get your Hall of Fame opinion. Andy Ruiz Jr., he upsets Anthony Joshua. I think this is great for boxing and specifically the heavyweight division. What do you think?
Yeah, it shook things up. You know, as I pointed out, you know, you wouldn't be talking to me right now if Anthony Joshua had won that fight. And it was, it was a shocking result. Ruiz was certainly the underdog in that fight. It wasn't Tyson Douglas type underdog. It was more Haseem Rahman, Lennox Lewis type underdog. And most of the folks that cover boxing on a regular basis thought that Andy Ruiz had it in him to give Joshua some trouble during the fight, but I don't think many people thought he could win. And part of the reason also was he had 6 weeks to prepare for the fight, which is not really as much as you'd like. But nonetheless, he was able to get the job done, and it created so much excitement. And now, in the last several hours, Eddie Hearn, the promoter of Joshua, has said on behalf of Joshua they are triggering the rematch. So there will be a rematch probably in November of this fight.
And Al, why? Like, as you know, you watch way more boxing than we do. How did Andy have a chance of beating Joshua, who physically looked like he should not be in the ring with them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Andy Ruiz is that his attributes coming into the fight were that he has good hand speed, he's resilient, he'd actually never been knocked down, and we saw both those things come into play. You know, his resilience was amazing because he gets hit with that really nice short left hook by Joshua, gets up, Joshua is overzealous in trying to get him out of there. Joshua landed a huge right hand shortly after that. I don't know if you remember that in that exchange. Joshua landed a right hand that should have knocked Ruiz down again and maybe ended the fight, but Andy Ruiz didn't go down. And instead, in that exchange, was able to land his own great left hook that hurt Joshua and ended up putting him down with a few more punches. So the resiliency of Andy Ruiz, his hand speed, and his ability to put punches together ended up being very important for him in this fight. And Anthony Joshua, it must be said, had a subpar performance in that fight. Now, it didn't take anything away from Andy Ruiz, who fought very well, but in addition, Anthony Joshua, from that third round on, was not very effective.
Hall of Fame boxing analyst Al Bernstein is with us. He had a subpar performance, like you say. Was Anthony Joshua unprepared, do you think?
No, I don't think he's unprepared. Yanni Hurd made the point. I'd like to tell you that he had a bad training camp, but I can't tell you that. I think he was prepared. But clearly something was off for Anthony Joshua. Whether it was mental or whether it was physical, he couldn't get himself focused. And even that left hand that he landed in that exchange, which is a very nice punch, there wasn't a lot like that in this fight for him. You know, he can box effectively. He didn't really do that, and he didn't really slug as effectively as he can, because he can do both those things. So you could chalk it up to a bad day at the office. However you want to look at it, it was, you know, needless to say, a damaging night for him. And as we pointed out, some of the things that happened to him were because Andy Ruiz had these skill sets. For instance, had he been able to had that second right hand that he hit Ruiz with, had that put Ruiz down again or ended the fight, we wouldn't be having this conversation, would we? But Andy Ruiz didn't go down.
And Al, on Twitter, you said that you're upset how people are covering Andy Ruiz Jr. Why is that?
Well, with all due respect, many of the mainstream sports talk show hosts on radio and TV have made some asinine comments about, I mean, one that we know of, whose name can't pass my lips.
I know who it is.
he who shall not be mentioned has done it, but he's just part of the issue. You know, this whole business of denigrating Andy Ruiz because of the way he looks and all the rest of it, and how it's a punchline. I made the point in my tweet. John Kruk didn't look much like a body beautiful, but we all understood that he was an all-star, right? Fernando Valenzuela didn't look too hot in the uniform, but he was a great pitcher. So this idea to turn this into a punchline and suggest that, you know, compare Ruiz to Butterbean and all the rest of it, there was way too much of that, I thought, and I just don't think that makes any sense.
Al Bernstein is with us, the Hall of Fame boxing analyst for Showtime. So going into the fight, did you think to yourself, wow, Andy Ruiz is going to have a shot here? Or had you kind of dismissed it as everyone else, like, oh, here's another heavyweight fight, and I'll check back in a few months?
Well, I know. I thought Andy Ruiz would make – I thought he would – I said my tweet before it was that he was going to be a pesky fighter for about five rounds because of his hand speed, and would make things difficult for Anthony Joshua, but ultimately Joshua's power would probably win the day. And I think most of the boxing, people that covered boxing on a regular basis, probably thought that. Nobody thought Andy Ruiz was some lamb being led to the slaughter and he was going to get whacked out of there in a round or two. I certainly didn't think that, and most of my brethren did not. However, there were very few people that were actually picking him to win. For a variety of reasons. And one of the big reasons was, again, that, you know, he took the fight on 6 weeks' notice. Anthony Joshua has been, has been a terrific fighter.
Now, the rematch, this will be a huge media event, right? I mean, isn't this what we, fans, you know, we love the heavyweight division especially. Like, this has real juice now.
Well, the heavyweight division, to put it in context, here's what's happening in the coming months. In September, Deontay Wilder will fight Luis Ortiz in a rematch of their fight, which was very exciting last year, in which Ortiz had Wilder in trouble. Wilder came back to knock him out. It was a very, very exciting fight that we had on Showtime. That's in September. Then in November will be the rematch of Ruiz and Joshua. In a week or two, we're going to have Tyson Fury taking on Tony Schwartz, which, again, it looks like a match that Fury should win on paper, but we just went through one in which the same was true. If, in fact, Wilder and Fury remain undefeated going into 2020, they already have an agreement in principle to fight each other in February of 2020. So here's what the fans of boxing and the heavyweight division have to look forward to. Ruiz and Joshua rematch, Wilder and Ortiz in what could be a great fight, and Fury and Wilder fighting early in the year. That's a pretty good schedule.
And now the big boys are back because, like, Ortiz is an older guy, but Joshua's young. You know, Wilder's young. Ruiz isn't that old. Like, are my big boys back?
Oh, yeah, and also Dillian White is a very fine heavyweight. There's a couple of heavyweights like Dubois coming up. And Joe Joy, and there are a number of other heavyweights. So the division has life in it again, and And I think we're seeing a resurgence that should last for, you know, several years for sure. And when you add that to the fact that the other divisions in boxing have a lot of great fights on tap, and the fact that boxing is being shown in getting a bigger platform with ESPN and Fox and some other and other places, along with Showtime and DAZN, you know, the sport is in an uptick right now. And I'm not a cheerleader for boxing; I cover it, but honestly, objectively speaking, the sport clearly is in an uptick period.
Yeah, no, and it was certainly helped out Saturday night. I genuinely believe that because I had very little interest in the fight. And you're right; I don't think I would have texted you if Joshua had won. I don't think you'd have been doing a bunch of radio.
Right, if he'd have won as he was supposed to, unless something super dramatic happened, we would move on, business as usual. But this, you know, created all kinds of excitement. And it was an exciting fight on top of everything else. You know, it had that round three had many elements in it of drama, and so it was a lot to be said for it. And on top of everything else, Andy Ruiz is a Damon Runyon character. You know, he's a very funny guy who has a dry, good sense of humor. Plus, again, he does look, let's be honest, he doesn't look like your average. He doesn't look like Anthony Joshua. He looks more like Tony Galento. And so you throw all that into the mix. He's the first heavyweight champion of Hispanic origin, of Mexican origin. And you throw all these things in, and it's created a kind of an irresistible brew.
Yeah, it's a guy that you can root for. We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I look at him, like I look at Anthony Joshua. I go, yeah, I can never be him. I don't care how hard I work out.
Right.
I look at Ruiz, and I'm like, yeah, I can root for that guy.
On top of all this, you have Anthony Joshua, who, while some people think he did it to extreme, was a true gentleman after the fight. And if anything, people thought he was probably too gracious and didn't show a urgency about the fact that he had lost. But you have that going on, and you have all these different heavyweights who are very different. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, quite a character in his own right. Deontay Wilder, a loud, bombastic American fighter who has had the title and is yearning for widespread approval, who's a big power puncher. Joshua, who we've outlined, or Ruiz, who we've outlined. We have a lot of fighters here that bring with them interesting backstories. And each are physically different, mentally different, and in terms of their origins are different.
Al Bernstein, the Hall of Famer, we love having you on. Now, you're also a bit of an actor as well. You've got your IMDb credits and whatnot. So quickly on the way out, I've got to ask you, have you seen the movie Godzilla?
I did not, no. I've not yet seen it. Friends of mine have seen it. What did you think?
I was in pain. I felt like I was being tortured. I was having a panic attack because I wanted to get out of that theater so badly.
Yeah. Some have reacted that way.
Oh, my God.
The movie I'm anxious to see is Rocket Man. I think that's probably going to be a good film.
Yes. I want to see that very badly. Have you ever walked out of a movie that you've paid for? The very few that I've ever actually walked out of.
It's funny you're saying that. I've walked out of, oddly enough, I adore Westerns. I love Westerns more than life, you know. The only thing I love more than Westerns is music and performing. And I walked out of the Kevin Costner movie Wyatt Earp. It was so long and pedantic that I just had reached the point where I couldn't bear to be there anymore. And I'm sorry to say that because I love Westerns so much. But that was a movie that I did walk out of. Normally, I would never do that. Would you? Would you think of doing that? I usually don't.
Right. So that was like this pull that I had yesterday because I was there. At my 15-year-old son was with me. He was bored out of his mind. My wife hated it, but I couldn't bring myself to walk out because, like, where was I going? I had nowhere to go. We had, I was like, what was I going to do?
It's weird. That's almost like an unwritten rule. You feel like, all right, I'm here. I have to see it through. There might be something redeeming about it, and you just do. And it's strange. That's a strange phenomenon. But most people would say they haven't walked out of very many movies. But yeah, I heard Godzilla. I know is very polarizing. And Rotten Tomatoes, I think, had it at 41%. So Well, a friend of mine who was at it, another friend of theirs had gone to the bathroom, and they came back, they leaned down and said, did I miss any plot development?
I actually asked my son, can you go out to the front and get me the 3D glasses? Because I'm like, this can't be this bad. I think I'm seeing the wrong pressing of it or whatever. I think, right. Like, Al, I was having a panic attack in the theater because I wanted to get out of there so bad, but couldn't bring myself to get out of there.
You're stuck and you can't get out. No, that's amazing. And you know, the last Godzilla movie, the previous one to this, where Bryan Cranston had a brief role, wasn't a bad movie. That was a few years ago. But this one, I know, is not met with great reviews.
Oh, just terrible. Just terrible. All right. Thank you for making time for us, Al. I know you're busy.
Always good to visit with you guys. You take care.
Thank you. Al Bernstein there. He is great because he can talk about anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. He's just he's got everything. He's got a little bit of everything. That's when he really lit up was talking about the entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing that's the job. He was doing his boxing analysis.
Did he say he loves Westerns more than anything?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't like Westerns?
Not more than anything.
Okay. No, and that's fair. There's very few things I like more than anything.
He can enjoy Westerns. I love Westerns more than anything.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about movie genres.
I think he didn't finish the sentence. I like Westerns more than anything else in entertainment.
Yeah.
Something along those
lines.
Funny
thing. I didn't want to call that out. He was rolling. I love Wyatt Earp.
That movie with Kevin Costner? I've never seen it.
Pretty good. It's a Western. It's the woman at home, you fighting.
I don't think I've ever seen a Western.
Really?
Yeah, that's not my wheelhouse.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he's in Westerns. What's happening here?
Are we yelling out Westerns?
I don't know what we're doing. Are you playing Pictionary or something back there? Solana's been with us for 2 hours and 18 minutes. Earlier in the show, people were texting in, you found another one?
Marty McFly.
I don't think Marty McFly's a Western. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back.
Radio.com.
This is for that guy.
Yeah.
Jeopardy.
The guy.
What was that dude's name?
James Holzhauer.
Well, he was lame as hell.
He wasn't likable, but he lost on Jeopardy. You know, Weird Al Yankovic has an actual song called I Lost on Jeopardy. It's a parody of this song. This is the actual Jeopardy song by Greg Kinn Band, but Weird Al has I Lost on Jeopardy. So that dude, yeah, he lost yesterday, and so that's over. But he won over like $2 million.
Do you see who he lost to?
Uh-uh.
It was kind of like poetic justice in a way. It was to a lady who had written a thesis in her like graduate program in university on Jeopardy, like on the show.
Oh, really?
Jeopardy. Yeah.
Hmm. He's a huge, I've read a couple articles about him, huge sports gambler. That's his living. He's Rob Pizzola. That's his career is sports gambler, and he's got this whole take on how to gamble on the NFL. He's made an entire career out of doing it, but you could see he's got some smarts. Like certain guys, they really are smarter than the room.
Yeah.
Certain guys think they're smarter than the room. Certain guys are always just a little smarter than the room. He's one of those guys.
That makes you think, because he has to be super intelligent to win over $2 million on Jeopardy. And he took all of that IQ and brains and sports gambling?
Uses it towards sports gambling.
Like he could have been a brain surgeon.
Well, I always have the same conversation whenever we have Rob Pizzola on, the professional sports gambler. Remember, I think he said he studied economics and whatnot. I think didn't he tell us his dad's like a super successful economist or something?
Yeah, but yeah. And his parents were upset with him when he chose this career.
But sometimes these guys, they just, if they see a little bit of a lane, like they just have that gene, you know, and they see a little bit of a lane to get, you know, where they would say, like I would say, if you're going to gamble, if you're going to go play poker. There's the line from Rounders, if you don't recognize the mark at the table, you're the mark.
Yep.
These guys see a mark just about everywhere. I read an article about him this weekend, yesterday after he lost, that he said he's very well known in sports gambling circles, and he's hoping now that his run on Jeopardy didn't make him too visible because these guys get banned a lot at sports books because they have a propensity to win, and sports books can ban you whenever they feel like it.
If you're just beating them,
mm-hmm.
like you're not cheating.
Yep.
You're just winning too much.
That is right.
Everybody else loses. Can't we have somebody come out on top?
Not so much.
I did not. They can. If you win too many bets in Vegas, they can say, don't come back
to
our establishment.
If you're like a whale and if they expect out of their customers X amount of wins versus losses and whatnot, but if you constantly are winning and beating them at their game, yeah, they'll ban you.
We should kick the Patriots out of the NFL.
Hey,
that's kind of what's going on.
You get no argument from me.
Oh, y'all win a lot?
Yeah,
no, I can't play with us. Take the ball. I didn't know that. That's a crazy rule.
Get no argument from me. Who did really well at mandatory workouts today? Anybody have any idea? Does it matter?
Rashad Jones broke up a pass. I heard that four times on the way in.
Does it matter?
No.
Look at you.
Excuse me. Is that unprofessional?
What's wrong with you?
I had to sneeze.
You okay?
What? I had to sneeze.
You getting sick lately?
I'm not getting sick.
Didn't you just start snoring after 49 years?
Yes, the weirdest thing. I snore all of a sudden. I need a CPAP.
You gonna clean it yourself?
And you know how I am. I've told you this. I don't have tolerance for people that snore. I don't have tolerance for it. Hey, it's nighttime. Be silent and sleep.
Go to bed.
All of a sudden, my wife's telling me I'm snoring like a banshee, and I haven't gained a lot of weight. Like, I know, all of a sudden you go from 160 to 290, and yeah, you're going to snore. Like, there's a few things. You're going to wheeze even when you're awake.
And you're going to lose that foot.
But I don't know what's going on. Does that happen with just getting older? You just start to snore?
I don't know. That's why I say you're okay, man. It's like your body is a lot of stuff going on negative right now for you.
I had an icy last night. I did at the movie. I had an icy and some popcorn, some bunch of crunch.
Hmm.
Well, maybe there is a reason that I'm snoring. Now that I start to think about it.
Now, I snore when I'm real. I think when you're real tired, you can snore. If you don't usually snore, but you've been up for like 24 hours, you're just getting that deep sleep and snoring.
But I'm snoring every night, according to my wife. Like snoring.
Maybe you get one of the things that move your jaw forward. They got a bunch of crap out there, man. Yeah. Put your mouthpiece in at night. You see them commercials? I laugh every time. Just put this in. It'll pull your jaw forward a couple millimeters, and you'll be okay. And my wife's going to turn and get me some action with a football mouthpiece in. What are you thinking of, sir?
I forget what you call it, the night thing or whatever from Breakfast. Not Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. I don't know. Check it out, Solana. See if you can find out if you snore as you get older.
On it.
Maybe your nose, your cartilage gets weak.
I've got a septum issue.
That deviated septum. Maybe all your cartilage breaking down and starting to shake.
Could be, man. I turned 50 in November, so maybe, as you turn 50, you start to snore.
You running down the other side of the hill.
Oh, man, you ain't even lying.
Snoring is caused by narrowing of the throat when you sleep.
What's the N-word?
Narrowing.
Okay.
Oh, see, so you're fine because you've got that loose throat. So you'll be good. You tell Asia. Now it makes sense. We've lived different lives.
It's the pee-pee in Ondodo.
Damn, those teenage years caught up with me. If it was your throat? I thought it had something
funny,
to do with your
man.
Nose or something.
Yeah,
man.
I thought it was nose. Well, whatever. Somebody texts in. Now, we've been getting these all day. Has anyone told you your signal sucks today? Is engineering still working on this? Because it's like we had a huge number of texts. In fact, let's do a little text poll here. How are you listening to us right now? So radio.com, HD, 560 AM. I don't know. How else could someone be listening right now? Are those the only options?
I think those are the only options.
So tell us how you're listening right now and if the signal sounds okay, because we've had complaints all day long. And I do, driving in, now that I think about it, I was listening to Dono and Ira. Ira was in for Frito. And I actually thought someone hit the dump button because it sounded garbled. And when you hit the dump button, it takes a while for the delay to ramp back up. And so it sounds like you're underwater. But now that I'm seeing all these texts, I'm starting to think, you know what? nobody probably hit the dump button. This has probably been an issue all day. So text in, how are you listening? Well, see, not like somebody texted in, 5:60 a.m. No. You got to tell us if it sounds okay or not. I need to know if it sounds okay and then how you're actually listening so we can kind of try to determine.
My computer hadn't worked in 2 weeks. I can't see anything.
Yeah, see, look at all the texts that are coming in that are saying 5:60 a.m. Lots of static, signal sucks, sounds bad, crackle and pop, a.m., signal sucks. See, I think the HD might be all right. Somebody says 5:60 a.m. It has sounded terrible since 12:30. I don't know.
And they saying nothing?
I mean, engineering told me they'd be on it.
Okay. Tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody's texting in. I'm listening on the radio. Sounds horrible. Car radio sounds horrible.
Want me to go check out the transmitter?
Listening in the car. Do you even know where our transmitter is? You think it's outside?
No, it's in the studio right
now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Check it. It's right under the VCR. It's the thing with the clock that's blinking.
A tree showed me.
I would guess on the roof.
George Sedano is going to join us at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk some NBA finals. I believe he was in Toronto for game two, right?
Two,
yeah.
Thursday.
I think Sedano was Sunday.
Saturday.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah, I think he was there. So George Sedano from ESPN, he'll join us at 5 o'clock today.
Radio.com.
What do you know about this song, Solana?
I'll be sure.
That's a good one.
What do you know about this?
I don't know anything, man.
It's his birthday today, 51 today, I'll be sure.
This is on all the action tapes.
I mean, this is ubiquitous with action. You ever heard this?
I honestly had never heard this song.
About you night and day.
What do y'all young kids listen to while we're during Whoopi? Bruno Mars?
Some Kesha.
Some who?
Kesha. You know what's funny? Back in my day, probably yours too, I had to craft mixtapes and whatnot. Now you can put any kind of playlist you want, you know, like on Spotify or I don't know if you could do it on radio.com, our app or whatever, but like you can just say love songs, love making music. Slow jams 80s, slow jams 90s. You can so define what you want on the playlist. Because that was art form back in my day to make a cassette.
But think about it. Like, I'll be sure. And I'll just go through the years with Belle Biv DeVoe and Boys to Men, R. Kelly. Like, who are those guys now? Like, who just makes sex music?
Oh, that's
the
a good
Weeknd,
question.
The Weeknd, for sure.
Really?
The Weeknd. His hit song was that upbeat, I Can't Feel You Without My Face or
I
something.
I can't feel my face.
That's sexy. Girl, I can't feel you without my face.
You lost your face?
That's crazy. What's it called? Like, yeah, that's not... Weeknd is not I'll be sure.
Really? Like, he's a sex musician?
Frank Ocean,
okay.
But when does he make music?
Nah, he had an album. I think it came out last year.
No, but, like, new artists. Frank Ocean's been a decade now. Yeah. Like, that's what, Silk. Like
that's what we really start thinking. We'll think about some names.
And that's
these.
All they made. That's all I'll be sure made. Like, he'll have a little up-tempo something here and there, but...
Silk never talked about losing his face. Maybe putting his face somewhere, but not losing
without
it.
My face!
No. Yeah, y'all are missing out, man. Maybe the population will lower a little bit, because they won't be making no
it's
babies.
A different ballgame, though, because with Tinder and... all those apps, like it, I'm telling you, it's a different ball game.
Hawk, we've talked about that. It's easier to start the conversation, right?
No, you have an answer. The moment the conversation starts, you have an answer. You could start the conversation back in our day. The tape, that was part of the wooing process.
The mood.
That was getting them to swipe right.
But the mood.
Now, once they swipe right, you don't even need the cassette. So the mood doesn't matter anymore.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Doesn't matter.
Solana, y'all swipe right. You Tinder and she swipes and y'all swipe. Whatever happens, I don't know.
then y'all get together. At that moment, do you have to then be, you know, suave, mood, music, candles?
Nah, it's like a business deal.
Really?
Think so.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it depends. Like, if you're on Tinder, for the most part, people know what the deal is. You know, like, all right, we're going to do a little talking. If we like each other, we're going to meet up. We're going to have some drinks, and then we're going to go home and you know, do it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, but that last 8 seconds of what you said. Okay, we're going to meet up. We know we both physically attract to each other. We're going to meet up. We're going to have some drinks.
But the vibe has to be right.
And then once you go back to the house, is it you know, what I watch on .coms? Or is it normal? Like, you go in, you go sit down, you dim the lights. Like, is it normal or is it just...
It's Netflix. It's literally, let's turn on some Netflix, and halfway through Netflix, you're hooking up with somebody.
I'm telling you, it's a different ball game.
Do y'all have sex to Cobra Kai?
To Bird Box!
Really? Like, the ambiance is Bird Box?
I'm more of like a Planet Earth kind of guy.
Like, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I ain't gonna lie, man. There's some animals, when they get after it, it can not get you going, but it makes you think about it.
I'm so far out of this game, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's animal like duck. Have you ever seen ducks get after it?
No.
Violent, man.
Really?
It bites the back of her neck, and she's running, and he's chasing her. Like, it's violent. Then go watch some, you know, go watch some prairie dogs or meerkats. They like rub on each other.
Sensual?
They rub on each other. They rub into the other person's neck, and the other person grabs their little tail. Like, they have a whole little sex game. They have foreplay. Meerkats do foreplay.
Huh.
And you're watching that, and you just think about, man, I want my little neck rubbed.
Man, I needed Tinder. So far removed from this. I have a better chance of dunking a basketball.
Think you'd work better on J-Swipe, Hawk.
I don't even think that that I could download the app. I don't think my phone wouldn't allow it. You know, because it does the facial recognition. It would look at my face and go, nah.
You've aged out of this app.
It's like, wouldn't you be more comfortable with this pool simulator? You can play billiards.
You download Tinder and billiards pops up.
J-Swipe would do the below waist, and you'd fit right in.
Well, I wanted to make that app, you remember? What was the website I wanted?
CelebritySwipe.com.
Right.
Or
what is the, because they're, right. Celebrity Net Girth instead of Celebrity Net Worth. Because aren't you always interested in finding out the celebrity's size?
Who?
You just went to the nude beach the other weekend.
I wasn't looking at what I didn't try to see what they had.
Yes, you did.
If they fell out, I looked.
Yes, you did.
But I wasn't going out there saying, oh, here goes John. Hey, nice penis. I didn't say anything like that.
Celebrity Net Girth. I think it's a huge hit. No pun. That's the slogan. But, huge website.
But how do you have insiders find
no,
it out?
But the point is, even if I'm wrong, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, who's gonna? I put George Clooney 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Am I gonna get an email from Clooney's representatives that hey, you're wrong? It's 7. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe a correction or
which would be great, or
a cease and desist.
either way, I think it's great for the website. Solana, secure that website for me, please.
On it.
CelebrityNetGirth.com.
I guarantee it's not available. Net Girth.
I'm just looking through Adam Beasley's tweets today from the Miami Herald, see if anything happened at mandatory workouts. Rashad Jones was there. That's obviously it. You've been hearing in Solana's updates, and that was the big question mark. I think they're still trying to move him. But I mean, dude's going to play. He's not, he ain't holding out. I mean, he's getting paid.
They can't cut him. They got to give him 13. So I'm with you. I think if a team comes up or a safety gets hurt on a Super Bowl contending team, they'll come out and get Rashad, give him the money, the Dolphins will let him go. But as he sit here today, they're not going to not play Rashad. Like, last week there was a report when Rashad Jones comes back, he's not on the depth chart yet. We haven't seen what he can do. Yeah, right. He's a damn Pro Bowler. You're going to have him. You're going to pay Rashad $13 million to run down on punt? It's not going to happen. Rashad's going to start. He's going to play, even while they're trying to move him. And Rashad, if Rashad knows they're trying to move him, Hawk, why would he go out and ball so that a team wants to bring him in and maybe give him another contract, give him some more money? Both sides of this are playing the game right. Don't complain. I'm not going to complain. You don't complain. Rashad's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to come to anything mandatory. If you move him, you move him. Give me my $13 million.
So he shows up at mandatory workouts today. That's fine. So that's off the board now. He's there. The other big question, I would say, is what? Fitzpatrick or Rosen, right? That's the other big question. But that won't be decided till preseason's over?
No, you got to go. You have to go into to the first game with a starter and a backup. The first preseason game, you have to go in.
Like, don't you, like, you don't, you think it'll be decided before the first preseason game?
They're not going to say it's decided, but the first snap of the first preseason game, whoever's under center is going to be assumed to be the starter. And the other guy comes in, you know, whatever, after the end of the first quarter, and he can beat him out, therefore, now the competition's there. But go, you know what? Game three, third preseason game, the dress rehearsal. Let's get our guy ready. Let's let the offense know. Let's let everybody know who's going to be under center game one. I would say game three of the preseason, we'll know who the starter is. Not a moment before then.
I think people will be surprised because I think there's a very good chance that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter for game one.
I'm with you.
I really do believe that. And I don't think there's any reason that you have to play Josh Rosen. You didn't give up the mortgage for him. So I think you could slow play him if you want. Now, if they think he's ready and the best quarterback out there, I think they'll play him. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to look better in camp. I think he's going to look better in the preseason because he should.
And he's better. He knows more. He's been in this league 15 years. And the thing, and it's conspiracy theory, whatever. Whenever you do, if you start Fitzpatrick, whenever you do put Josh Rosen in, and we're still assuming this is going to be a bad season, right? Nobody swung that this is going to be a double-digit win season.
They are still the biggest underdog, according to Vegas, when it comes to wins and losses. They have the lowest over-under. It's 5. Like, they are still supposed to be epically bad.
After 8 games, they're 2-6. You put Josh Rosen in the 9th game, the entire organization resets, the entire fan base resets, the entire team resets.
The
because
only question
now you have some hope.
The only question though is if you like this is the big question though as the season goes on. If you are 2-6 and you're in line for Tua or Fromm, like, do you mess that up?
I don't think you're going to mess it up because if you're 2-6, we know there's more problems than just Fitzpatrick.
So even if Rosen comes in,
he's not going to come and save a team. Look at perfect example. Just popped in my head. Green Bay last year. In my mind, Aaron Rodgers, the top 5 quarterback of all time. Aaron Rodgers is very talented, very smart, understands football. When all those guys got hurt for Aaron Rodgers, he loses his good tight ends, all his weapons leave. The Green Bay Packers were terrible. He still had numbers, but the Green Bay Packers were terrible. Aaron Rodgers couldn't drag a bad roster to the playoffs. So Rosen's not going to be able to do it either. If Fitzpatrick starts 2-6, Rosen at best will go 3-5. You
know
what I'm saying?
One would think.
Yeah. So,
but the question is then, do you see enough, though, where you go, wow, that guy's got some skills. Maybe we're better off not using that first pick on a quarterback.
And that's the philosophy. I heard Brian Flores tell the media, I can watch him at practice. Y'all can't.
Right.
So I'm evaluating him every day. I'm the other way because I've seen too many players that look good at practice getting that game and that light's too big for them. They line up against somebody that they've never seen before and it's a different human and now they get all nervous. I like to see guys in games. When I speak on Josh Rosen moving forward, I'm going to say he's all hope. He's a lottery ticket until I see him play on Sunday. Flores, O'Shea, Jim Caldwell, those guys, and I believe they're strong football minds. They could tell me all they want about Wednesday, Thursday. Money's made on Sunday. If people don't know this. You only get paid on Sunday. One game day, you get your check. That's when you earn your money. That's what I'm going to evaluate, guys.
We're going to talk a little NBA Finals. George Sedano from ESPN, and he hosts his daily show on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. He was in Toronto for Game 2. Sedano's going to join us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.